Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
WrestleMania is running wild. I bow down to our new ass lords. It is a load of ass here on AEW Dynamite. Let's call it Ass Elite Wrestling because the ass boys, I mean the guns, are your new Ass-EW World Tag Team Champions, beating those nobodies the acclaimed. I know. It's not Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal, which would have been the only thing that could have topped this excellent finish to this show that got over super hot. I'm Ollie Davis. I'm joined by Chopper Pete Quinnell. Welcome to the Ass-EW Dynamite Review Podcast. If you haven't already, please press the thumbs up button. Press the subscribe button. Leave us your comments down below, hailing the Ass Boys as the new tag team champions. And also, a big thank you to our wonderful sponsor for this episode, Geology.
Geology are awesome. We've spoken about Geology a lot on these podcasts. We've been speaking for ages about their amazing skincare range and the benefits you can get from it. But now, you can get even more awesome stuff from Geology because they're expanding their range. They now have a bunch of hair care products as well. Brand new skin, hair, and body products all for your delectation. If you use the link in the at the top of the description, use the code WRESTLE70, you get an exclusive 70% off the skincare trial set, which is similar to the one we've got here. You get a lot of really good stuff in it. We'll talk a little bit more about Geology later on as well, but make sure to click that link at the top of the description so you can get that 70% off and use WRESTLE70.
Well worth it. Me and Luke have been using it for, I think, over a year now, and a genuine organic conversation that happened in the office yesterday. Mm-hmm. We both battled to see who had the softer face.
They said, do you want a soft off? And I was like, I don't like it. Don't say that ever again.
Luke said that his wife said he had a really soft face this week. And I said, I was told the exact same thing. There's only one way to settle this. And it's a Mountain Dew soft off match. Or a Geology soft-off match.
A Geology soft-off match.
Where no one can actually grapple each other because there is zero friction on the body.
They're too smooth.
Well, you would know. You'll be the special guest referee. The smoothest guest referee. Right, so this episode of AEW Dynamite, I'm sure there was a transition there, as smooth as a baby's bottom, ass boys, guns, ACW Tag Team Champions. But yes, they won the titles last night from the Acclaimed in is like the assiest of timelines. And people were... It's a curious one because you saw that we had our own reactions. I'll say mine. Mine was, I think that's a mistake. Yours was...
Oh, for God's sake.
Then you went on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And what did Twitter say?
Oh, I hate it. Twitter did not like this at all. A lot of people being like, what the F? Hate this. Why are they doing this? This sucks. I feel sick. You know, a lot of stuff like that. People really, really didn't like this.
I feel sick.
So, yeah. It's a bit of an exaggeration, I reckon. But, like, you know, people really, really didn't like this. And I was maybe not as heated as a lot of those comments on Twitter, but I definitely didn't like this.
And then I go on Reddit, which is where I lurk, and Reddit said, awesome. And there was a lot of trolling fun, like ass boys. They're genuinely good, but there was also some more measured feedback of, well, this is how you book cowardly, sort of, what's the word, overpushed heels to win titles.
Yeah, because what happened in the match? The match was fine. It was all right. There was a ref bump. Daddy Ass came out.
Hell of a ref bump.
It was all right.
He felt like he was shot out of the ring.
They showed a replay after. I was like, oh, he barely hit him as well.
Yeah, but he sold it like a million bucks.
Yeah.
I think the ref was the best wrestler in this match.
Don't you dare talk bad about Anthony Bones' hot tag. Yeah, Daddy Ass came out. Billy Gunn came out. And it looked like this was while the ref was down and he was helping Bowens back to his feet. And it looked like there was a tease that he might just hold Bowens in place so his son could hit him with the tag belt. But no, he threw Bowens aside to protect him and then had stare down with his son with the belt. But then he clocked him in, clocked his own dad in the head with the belt immediately afterwards. Boo, hiss, etc. There was a near fall. The ref was counting very slowly because he was just coming to. The Acclaimed got a visual win. They hit the mic drop, but the referee wasn't roused enough. Then there was roll-up sequences. Bowens gets pushed off a roll-up, smashed around the head with the title, and then gets rolled up. 1, 2, 3, and the Ass Boys are the tag champs. And it's a cowardly way for them to win. It is a way to protect cowardly heels that don't feel worthy enough to be, in terms of like wrestling ability, they're not portrayed as the best wrestlers in the division. They are being portrayed as lucky. They're being portrayed as cowardly. And that is how you book them. But it sucks. Because if you look at the rest of the AEW tag team division, you cannot possibly tell me that the one team you want to have the tag belts is the Ass Boys. Mm-hmm. Come on now.
So what is the AEW tag division? Refresh my memory.
FTR.
They're not around at the moment.
But they should be.
But they're not. They're on a hiatus.
Young Bucks. Technically doing trios.
They're in the trios.
Still tag.
Look, let's agree they're not in the tag division right now. Neither are FTR.
Butcher and Blade. They're amazing. You can't deny that.
You're right. Butcher does a cool walk. He should be the champion.
The Acclaimed.
Uh-huh.
That's another team.
Yeah, they're in there.
They're great. Who else do we have?
Private Jurassic Party. Express again. Private Party. I think Quinn is injured. He's not around.
Yeah. I can't remember. I haven't been
Santana and Ortiz are broken up.
That's true. There's the people of the JAS.
Yeah, exactly. The creation of the Trios division has ravaged the... good point.
Trio stuff with Death
Triangle, but doing Death Triangle trio stuff, you're right. The Trios division has been... arguably a very bad thing for AEW's tag division.
Wouldn't surprise me.
And so if you decide they're also trios.
Yes. I'm just reading the chat.
Yeah. I think House of Black, I would have preferred to see any number of people in this spot. To be honest, I would have preferred the Acclaimed to retain. Mm. It's a fascinating thing because on paper, if we just take our perceptions of the Ass Boys out of it, on paper, this is a culmination of a year-long storyline which has taken two middling undercard tag team acts and turned at least one of them into one of the hottest acts, not just in the tag division, but in the entire company.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Acclaimed's pairing with Billy Gunn, weirdly, that seemed to be the missing part of their puzzle.
Mm.
And now there's all of the storyline elements and feuds in there work perfectly. And actually, the Gunns as a team are very decent, particularly Austin, who is a very good promo and is a very fun, goofy seller. So on paper, you're like, this is an amazing... If you never watched it play out, wow, great year, long-term storyline. And then boom, the Ass Boys cheated to get the titles. But in practice, I don't think this has worked because the moment the titles changed hands, the crowd didn't boo. They went silent. Mm-hmm. And not in a shocked, oh my God, Bruno Sammartino just got pinned silence. It was just, oh.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which you wouldn't have got if it was Jeff Jarrett.
I didn't realize you'd hopped on the Luke train.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was just Luke.
Funnily enough, it was the Acclaim that won me over. When they did their diss track on Jarrett. I was like, that's so funny. And then Jarrett was really funny afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sanjay Dutt's brilliant.
That's a tag team right there.
Mm-hmm.
Lethal and Jarrett.
So yeah, the sort of, this is how you book a cowardly, undeserving heel team to beat the champions. Like it all makes sense on paper, but I think it's too early. I don't think the guns are credible.
Mm-hmm.
In a company that sort of prides itself and has built itself around credible champions. I made the comparison to MJF in my video where MJF cheats all the time, but you never doubt his in-ring ability.
Mm.
And that's a great tandem that works. But yeah, I think this is going to, when you look back at promotions that push people too early, because there's, oh yeah, they've got a title belt under their belt now. This will help them in the long run. Like, you know, Okada got the belt way early. Jay White got the belt way early. Sheamus, Jack Swagger, these people all got the belts way early. I actually don't think it's ever worked. I've never seen when they put the belts on a team that, you know, weren't there yet. And then in hindsight, it's been like, that was a good idea. I think with, you know, Okada went on to be one of the greatest wrestlers ever. But I think you could have still told that story and arguably without the year of feeling like someone's overpushed.
When I say ass, you say boys. Gun Club 2023.
I think he's taking it well, you know.
I think Is he pro? Well.
He didn't look pro earlier. As a bit, he's very pro. That was the pre-existing bit with it, was that he was all in on the ass boys. I think he's taken it well, honestly.
Yeah. That seems to be the actions of someone who's
sensible.
Got his emotions under control.
Yeah. I personally didn't like it, and I think there's a. I agree with you. I think the Trios division is something that has detracted from the tag division quite significantly. But I think you don't do that. Like you have so many great tag teams in your company that are now being taken up with a lot of other things. If you didn't book that way, you would have a much stronger tag division. You wouldn't have to have the Ass Boys win the tag belts.
I don't think you have to have the Ass Boys win the tag belts anyway.
You don't have to have them win anyway. But you're right. When I was listing a lot of the other tag teams, I'm like, oh, wow, there aren't really that many people to actually go after these belts at this point because they are all taken up with other things right now. And that's really a failure with the booking because, as you've mentioned, in AEW, normally the best wrestlers are the people that hold the belts. Not necessarily on every occasion, but a lot of them, you earn your championship run by being a great wrestler, first and foremost. And it just doesn't feel like that's the case with the Ass Boys. It feels like they haven't reached that point yet. And even if they have potential to reach that point down the line, they're not there yet.
Mm.
Giving them the belts at this point is a bad choice, and I think it's going to harm, and there's every chance that this is a very short-term thing and they might drop the belts of Revolution. I still think it's a bad choice.
Yeah,
just don't do it.
I feel like that is probably the way it goes. It's either the Acclaimed win the belts back in 3 weeks time, in which case it's just an angle.
Yeah,
and it's weird because I don't want people to say I'm hypocritical because I was praising Samoa Joe and Darby Allin last week.
Yeah.
And Darby's 1 month title reign. I think that works perfectly.
Mm.
But this feels too much like let's heat up this feud. I'm over that. The other way you could go is the Gun Club are all victorious. We're not gonna give you the championship shots. Cue FTR return.
That's exactly it, yeah. And that I think is the most likely thing, that FTR return and win the belts of Revolution. And that will be the payoff to that thing, is FTR getting their win back, to get the belts back.
Yeah, because Gun Club beat them back in, I think, November.
Yeah.
And you've circumnavigated FTR and the Acclaimed having to go at it for the belts. But I think that's a bad decision. I think the money match is FTR and the Acclaimed.
Exactly, yeah. You shouldn't be afraid to put on those big money matches, even if it's face versus face, because that's a match that people would want to see. I just think this is a bad choice. And I think that it might turn out fine I can't see a scenario where people will be will look back at this and go, that was a really good decision.
Yeah.
I think at best, it's going to be like, eh. And at worst, it might be, oh, that was actually really damaging.
What about if Ass Boys come out next week on Dynamite and they get Roman Reigns after beating The Undertaker levels of heat because the crowd are just like, no, we're done with you guys. And then that morphs into some actual momentum. Could happen.
It could happen.
I don't see it happening.
I don't see it happening either. It felt very much like you said, there was stunned silence at the end of this one. Of just like, oh, that's the direction we're going. Mm. And then there was chance of bull S afterwards, which didn't really feel like heat for the Ass Boys. That felt like a criticism of the booking.
Yeah.
And for me, that rarely translates to good heel heat for the act. It's already been decided that was a bad Tony Khan decision, not a bad Ass Boys decision. That rarely translates, I think, into actual good heel heat. It might happen, but I don't see it personally.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Well, let's see what everyone thinks in the Omega chats. Please get them into wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them over $5. And where are they? Here they are. Matt Hennessy says, the issue with the guns is that they have heat, but not the right type. Mm. Instead of your heel, I don't like you type of heat, there is the company is over pushing you for a spot you're not ready for or haven't earned type of heat.
It's Baron Corbin heat.
Hell,
that's
day.
What you call it.
Matt continues, the gun push reminds me of Corbin push from 2019, where WWE tried to make Baron a main eventer. He was in the world title picture for 3 months. He got the wrong type of heat. WWE realized it and did not put the world title on him, except AEW did the opposite.
Granted, this isn't the world title. This isn't as I've seen a lot of people make comparisons to wild stuff that was like company damaging angles and bad things from the past. This is not that. This is a bad choice for the tag division and a bad choice for AEW. This also probably shouldn't have been the main event, but that's a different conversation.
Matt, again, last year we saw the TNT title lose its value when it flip-flopped between Guevara, Sky and Wardlow. It wasn't until Joe won it at the end of the year it got its credibility back. I think we're in for a similar situation with the tag belts.
And I think arguably the TNT title is still in rehabilitation. Like it's had a really good few months with Joe and Darby and then Joe again and that it's being built back up, but it still has been damaged for quite a while.
I think the TNT title, thanks to Joe and Darby, is now back where it should be. But it has flip-flopped between them.
It has.
That's like flip-flopping is not always a bad thing. If the characters are over and it's really hyper-competitive, you can tell a story that way. And the belt hasn't flip-flopped yet. The Guns could go on a six-month run. The problem here is the Guns' sort of positioning. And getting this title win.
Yeah.
Charles Berg says, I said last week I believe there is potential in the Ass Boys. I, for one, am fine with this decision, only because I'm a firm believer that the only way to see how good someone can be is to throw them in deep water with no life jacket. But I see a short run.
That's a great way to see people drown.
Yeah, but they could swim.
They could swim.
Sorry, the Streamlabs hasn't recorded your name, this next person. First time Omega chatter.
Oh, for God's sake, it's always a first time Omega chat. Can you please let us know your name in the live chat and we'll find it.
But I was at the show last night and it was devastating when the Ass Boys won. Besides that, an amazing night of action and I had a prime seat to see Jericho hit Starks. He was there the whole time.
Yeah, sure he was.
Jam Beard, I think the reactions to the Gun Club winning is a huge overreaction. They're a fine team to be champs. They are basically 2010's Miz of the AEW tag division.
And I think a lot of people would say that's bad.
Yeah. But I see what you mean.
Yes.
I just don't... And AEW have never really done this, and they're 4 years in, so maybe now's the time to do it. For me, this isn't the way to do that thing.
Yes.
You need a more... Like, Miz would get way more heat than the Gun Club.
Mm-hmm. I also just think, like... Was anyone done with the Acclaim's title run? Like,
no.
It still felt like they were, you know, still riding that momentum, still really, really hot. It just felt like a really odd time to end the title reign as well. Even if you wanted to do this, it felt like a weird time to do it.
Provable ratings draw. Yeah. Their segments, the numbers tick up. It's, again, I think the Acclaimed are a victim of booking, not just in this isolated incident, but with the whole division, in that they haven't had any proper challenges built up. And the only one they did have built up, which was FTR, Tony Khan sort of... He fluffed it.
Squandered.
Yeah. Liam Leonard, Memberg for 17 months. I'm not the biggest fan of the Acclaimed, but this is just a garbage title change that will mean nothing in 1 month. Jam that jam. Happy birthday, Pete.
It's not my birthday.
And J.S. Wooten for now. Poor Tempest getting done dirty by Chopper.
I felt so dirty and horrible.
Surely he knew it was happening.
He didn't. He came
really?
In. No, because I said, have you seen Dynamite? And he was like, no. And I was like, don't look at anything. Come to the studio. As soon as you get in, don't go to the office. Come to the studio and we'll record a thing for the show. And he goes, okay, cool. And when he came in, he was jittery with excitement. He was like, I've been racking my brain for like an hour and a half trying to think what could happen. I can see the time code. It's a main event angle. I've been thinking like maybe Kota Ibushi's debuting.
Oh,
and I was literally just like, oh no. let's press play. And then immediately the Guns came out. I was like, sorry.
Kota Ibushi could still come out.
If you haven't seen it, it's on the WrestleTalk Podcast channel. Go watch it. We've got his live reactions to the Guns winning the tag belts. I felt horrible, but it was worth it for the content.
Nonetheless, this gets us FTR back and the cathartic whooping of that ass at Revolution. Mm. Anything that gets FTR back is worth it. It's the journey, not the destination. Yeah, but it's a bad journey.
Yeah.
Tempest needs better co-workers for life. Your faction mate, honestly.
It was good fun though, wasn't it?
Well, before we get into our play-by-play review, let's tell us about my soft face.
Please never say the word soft off ever again, though. I don't want to hear it.
It's not hard. It's a soft off. Get soft.
This stream is sponsored by Geology. Thanks, Geology. We have spoken about geology a lot on this stream. Ollie and Luke, as you mentioned earlier, they've been using geology products for ages now.
Do you want to touch my face?
I don't.
Okay.
Actually.
It's soft.
Thanks for the offer. Geology has over 6,000 five-star reviews. So many people that absolutely love this product. They have really great skincare products. You get a personalized regimen. You take a very quick diagnostic quiz online and you get your own personalized regimen that's sent to you with your own products for you to use. They're color-coded, very easy to use. The orange ones for the daytime, the blue ones for the nighttime. It's great. Help with a lot of stuff like acne and oiliness and prevents wrinkles. You can have combating dark or puffy under eyes, smoother hydrated skins, targeting the signs of aging. All this stuff that we've spoken about with Geology for ages. But now, really excitingly, they're now expanding into hair care products as well. Incredible. It's going to impact me specifically so much. Just all this hair. But for people who do have hair, it's very exciting. Because they have, they've dermatologically tested for the best results. Co-wash, a specially formulated cream cleanser that removes buildup and cleanses the hair without the big lather, harsh ingredients, or stripping hair of its natural oils. You keep all the natural oils that you want to have in it. They also are expanding into body washes as well, which is awesome. You can feel good, you can smell great, and with the technology that they already have implemented in their skincare products, they're now taking that into body washes as well, into deodorants, all sorts of stuff. They've got a really expanded range. And what's awesome is if you click the link at the top of the description and use our code WRESTLE70, you can get 70% off the trial box of the skincare range after you do that 30-second online quiz and get your own personalized regimen sent out to you. So make sure to click that link and use WRESTLE70 for 70% off your trial box. It's awesome.
I never knew how precious the skin around your eyes is. It's so thin.
You can pitch it.
It's so thin.
If you're watching, just do that.
It's like crepe paper.
It feels strange how thin it is. Yeah.
And my cheeks are lovely and podgy and soft, but the eyes are just there waiting to wrinkle. Mm. That's why I need this. It's the nourishing eye cream. So hopefully that will help me stave off the years.
Fingers crossed. That'd be amazing.
I'm actually 58.
You heard it here first. On the
thanks to
podcast.
Geology, I look not a day over 52.
Oh, it's the same job.
You got there before you. Right, send in your remaining chats to wrestledor.com/support. We'll read out all of them by the end of the show while we talk the play-by-play review of this.
Well, before we do, just a quick thing that I wanted to mention.
Mm.
If you guys were watching the Royal Rumble.
Great.
You know that one show. We also had the Royal Jambles on the show. For the first time ever, Adam and Andy didn't win. Isn't it nice? I won.
It would be the chance of that happening would be more than the grains of sand in the universe.
We worked it out.
Mm.
I won one of the jambles.
Congratulations.
I get challenged for the jambie chip on night one of WrestleJamia. And Sullivan Bo Brown won the second jamble.
It's my favorite.
I'm right here.
Oh.
Which means he gets a challenge for the jambie chip on night two of WrestleJamia. But the thing is, you see, the championship, I haven't held the championship in a long time. Not since November 2021.
Mm.
When I introduced the brand new championship and immediately lost it because Luke jammed it in and stole my championship from me. Not sorry about that or anything. So this is the first chance I've had since then, really, to get the championship back. My first real proper challenge I've had. And I don't want Sullivan ruining it for me. Because the thing is, Sullivan gets the challenge on night two, whereas I have the challenge on night one. And when I win the championship on night one, I then have to immediately defend it again on night two. And for me, that's not fair. Because right now, that means I only have a 33 and a third chance of winning, right? Whereas Sullivan has a 50% chance of winning, yeah? Because it's me, Luke, and Sullivan all involved in this. Mm. Whereas Sullivan on night two has a 50% chance of winning. So if I can take Sullivan out of the equation, that means I've got an 83 and a third chance of winning at WrestleMania. But the thing is, Luke knows that he can't beat me. Which means he's not even going to try. So if I take Luke's 50% chance of winning, his chances drastic go down. And I take that 50% chance and I add that to my 83 and a third chance. That means I got 133 third and a chance winning at WrestleMania. Which means my point is I want Sullivan's jamble opportunity for WrestleJamia. So Sullivan Bo Brown at Elimination Chamber. I'm challenging you, me versus you. Because I want your Royal Jamble opportunity for WrestleJamia. If I beat you in predictions at Elimination Chamber, I challenge Luke on both nights of WrestleJamia.
Oh. Does he challenge you if you win the first night?
I don't know. It might be a cumulative score over two nights. I don't know. We'll figure that out. But I want both shots. All right? Not having any of this. It's unfair if I have to defend my newly won championship on night two. Not having it.
I suppose we'll see if Sullivan's a dumb babyface and he puts his shot on the line.
Yep.
For all the jam balls.
Yeah. He's got to prove himself. Mm-hmm. He got doubled there. Well, it was Sullivan and Sock Puppet Sullivan. Yeah, those are two completely different entities.
It was championship fight night last night on Dynamite. That was the name of the special episode.
How many championships are on the line?
So the tag titles, the trios titles, and then all the other matches were championship eliminators or variants thereof.
You could make an argument. It's championship fight night. You could make the argument. It's not a great argument, but you could make it.
Yeah. He needed a graphic.
Yeah.
He needed a graphic to put on social media on Wednesday.
You know, I said yesterday when we were talking in the office, I was like, oh, is Dynamite Tomorrow a special? They haven't done a special in a while. Championship Fight Night feels like a special. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. It kicked off, though, with MJF versus Takeshita, which was an awesome match.
So much fun.
Yeah.
Oh, Takeshita is very quickly becoming one of my favorite people to watch.
Uh-huh.
In that every time he comes out, I'm like, well, I know I'm in for a great match. Every single time. And if you get that reliability of having amazing matches back to back to back to back to back, all this man's great. You know who else is great? MJF!
Yeah.
Every time. Forget how flipping amazing he is at wrestling.
Yeah, you come in like, oh, Takeshita. I'm there as well. I love Takeshita. But this was just me enjoying MJF this match. Because he wrestles so sporadically, it's like every time you forget and you think, oh, you're just a promo guy. Because so many promo guys cannot be that level of incredible in the ring.
Mm.
But he is. And just effortlessly bust out a top rope backflip reversal off a top rope lariat from Takeshita. And then just walk and turn around like it was nothing.
Barely bent his knees on landing.
I've watched that back so many times, and I can't tell when it starts. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's just so seamless, and that is such a babyface spot, but I don't want to cheer him. He's incredible. He hit something else, which was a... not a hammerlock DDT, but he sort of...
It was a hammerlock.
Yeah, oh, so he got him like
that. Yeah, so he had it was like an elevated one, so the legs were off the ground and then did a hammerlock DDT from there.
Oh, like just that as well. I don't think I've seen him do that before. It feels like when he's away from the ring, he is constantly thinking and working, well, my next match in a month or 2 months, what new cool thing can I do? What second rope tombstone pile driver can I get a near fall off of?
Yeah.
I think he's... Like, he says he's a generational talent, and you can't disagree.
He kind of is, though, isn't he? I really like the psychology in this match as well. With Takeshita stunning, I thought was really good. He seemed to, like, tweak his arm and constantly was, after, like, every move, was, like, kind of squeezing the arm and trying to get some life back into it. And that's what cost him in the end, was MJF, like, targeting his arm for basically the whole match and then doing the Salt of the Earth armbar and everything. It was great. And he won clean. Great.
Mirrors Danielson's own plight of having his arm worked over.
Yeah.
So there's, as always with Max's stuff, there's so many neat mirror images of things else going on. What do you think about Takeshita tapping?
Fine.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I thought he looked good enough.
Yeah.
MJF's a champion. The focus should be on Max.
Yeah.
Meltzer was a bit critical of that, just saying, well, of all the ways did he have to tap out?
I really don't like the perception that tapping out is like a weak. It makes you look weak if you tap out. I really hate that. And we've got to a point where, oh, well, if the babyface doesn't pass out, then they're not brave. I hate that we've got to that point, because tapping out is something that happens all the time in actual like combat sports. It's just a normal way to give up. The other person has, they bested you.
Yeah.
In the same way that they bested you in a pinfall. The one is not greater than the other. It's just a way to win. I'm totally fine with someone tapping out. Especially like this, like he had very good reason. His arm was being worked over. Armbar transitioned into a more severe version of the armbar afterwards as well. Like, yeah, makes total sense.
I agree. I don't mind submissions being, I don't think it devalues people. I suppose if you are trying to build up to Kestra as this strong style, never quits wrestler.
I just don't see tapping out as quitting, even though it is quitting. Like, you're tapping out to say, I can't take this anymore, therefore I quit. To me, it doesn't, the two things are not connected with, oh, this person's a quitter because they tapped. For me, that's just like a line that doesn't connect to me.
But crucially, the hard cam positioning is still elevated.
Cool.
Am I the only one that notices this?
Apparently, yeah. I don't know. It's fine.
The hard cam has gone from here to here.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
It makes the shot look totally different.
I'm sure it does.
Danielson came out afterwards because MJF continued to work over Takeshita. The referee very clearly handed over a blade.
Yeah.
Which Takeshita used, so he bladed. And Danielson scared off Max. Good. I like Danielson Takeshita's relationship.
Yeah, it's really nice. And that is the only time we'll see blood on this show.
Bunny took on Jamie Hayter in a championship eliminator match. Most of it, did they go to a break? I can't tell on the fight feed. It felt like Excalibur was throwing to a break at one point, but I don't know if they actually went to it. So a pretty short match. Hayter hit an exploder suplex, then another one. And on the second one, it's like her shoulder or her back of her head landed on Bunny's face. And that made it look like they wrapped things up pretty fast afterwards.
Yeah, it looked like a rough landing for her in some way. But then she just got her up, hit the Hayter and just won immediately afterwards. Still, decisive good victory for Jamie Hayter, which is good.
Then it cuts back to Saraya and Toni Storm. They're talking to Renee, and they're being very one-dimensional bully heels. They call in Leva Bates, and Leva Bates is being the opposite of a one-dimensional bully heel. She's a one-dimensional blue-eyed baby face. And she's like, oh my God. And then they beat her up and they spray paint L for loser on her body.
L for Leva Bates.
Why didn't Renee sort of go, hang on, girls, this is a bit mean?
Yeah. Hey, Saraya, you're my pal. What you doing, friend?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
One of Renee's strengths is that she is an interviewer who has a consistent character and will call people out on things. Or if not call people out, give Hangman Page stink eye. So when she didn't really react to this, or maybe she did. Well, I did watch her quite intently to see how she was reacting. I couldn't really tell anything. I feel like she'd be really morally conflicted here. She was super on Saraya's side when she came in.
Everybody be one-dimensional in this segment.
I don't like... The other thing is I don't like it.
Yeah. Not a huge fan, but... Oh, well.
Can't say that, though. Women's division.
Can't say what?
That you don't like it.
I don't. I really like Jamie Hayter.
What is far better is Max talking about a blowjob he once got and then gaslighted the girl into thinking she crashed a car and avoided prosecution. So MJF's backstage and is it Lexi?
Yeah,
I think it was Lexi, the backstage interviewer. She just sort of catches up with him. MJF's huffing and puffing after the match and he tells this incredible story in one succinct promo breath. And I won't do it justice. I really encourage everyone to go watch it in promo form clipped out on AEW's YouTube channel. But the crux of it is, he's a teenager. He's a jock. He has a lot of points on his license. And he's one bad thing away from it getting revoked. And then you sort of forget about that detail because he starts talking about this girl he had a crush on at school. And he finally asks her out and they go for a fast 90 mile an hour drive. And she distracts him. And when he said distracts him, he uses sort of mime for fellatio. And he says it was raining, though, and they hit a telephone pole and it totals the car and he comes to and he can hear and see police sirens wailing in the background. And he looks over at his date and she is, you know, puts his finger under her nose and she, yeah, she's still breathing, but she's knocked out. She's got blood on her head. She must have hit the windscreen. And he, in that moment, realized the sort of man he is. And you're thinking there as a viewer, what did you do? Did you save her? And he goes, I switched seats with her so the police wouldn't think I was driving and my license would get revoked. That's the sort of man I am, Danielson. It doesn't matter how you win. It just matters that you do win. Incredible.
It's the thing is, the content of the promo was great, obviously. It's an MJF promo. It's the delivery that he has, the fire that he has inside of him every single time. When he does a promo like this, which, you know, rides the line, some might say, he manages to just make it work every single time and make it 100% consistent with his own character while still being drastically different from what we were seeing with, like, the whole, like, Moxie feud and the whole Regal stuff. Completely different version of MJF. Yeah, it still makes perfect sense every time. His ability to talk is next to none. It's genuinely incredible.
Yeah.
As people who have to talk for a living, this man is 100 million times better than any of us. It's incredible to watch this man talk every time. He's so good.
And just 3 weeks ago, he was playing a cowardly villain. A lot of comedy stuff. He was roasting Freddie Prinze Jr. in the front row of the LA crowd.
Yeah.
And here he is. It feels like, I agree, a totally different level of Max, but still 100% coherent with the sort of veneer of I'm a douchebag roasting people Max we had just under a month ago. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. I love this. You know, we've had Braun Strowman admit to murdering his childhood friend when he pushed over a treehouse in a promo. You know, stuff like that. I'm like, that's goofy, that's fun, whatever. But this one, like, it felt like Eddie Kingston doing a promo. You know when I think Eddie Kingston cut a promo where he, like, admitted to murder?
Yeah, that sounds, like, sounds like something Eddie would do.
But this, yeah, it's just this lore of Max where a lot of what happened to him in college and school, which wasn't that long ago for him because he's only 25, 26, has really still begrudges him. And there's this huge chip on his shoulder, all the stuff about the anti-Semitic abuse he got when he was joining the football team, played into the punk feud. I can't say enough good things about Max.
And it was part of me when he was telling the story initially, I was like, oh, this is probably another true story. And then I got to the end, I was like, that's probably not true. I think that's probably a fake one, you know?
Are you saying he's actually a sweetie in real life? And it's just a character. After that, unfortunately, I really didn't like this. We got the Garcia Guevara gauntlet, where Ricky Starks had to beat Angelo Parker, which he did easily. Beat Daddy Magic, which he did easily. Garcia and Guevara come out. You don't know who he's going to face, but he faces Garcia. And the idea is he has to beat Garcia, then Guevara. Then he'd get a shot at Jericho. I was like, when? Next week at the pay-per-view? Like, no, right now. I was like, well, there's like three other matches. It's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, yeah, Garcia and Starks had a bit of a match. Quite good. I thought, well, you don't want to beat Garcia, so this is probably going to end in a schmoz. It did. Jericho was a ringside in a lucha mask, his favorite thing to do, and he Judas affected Starks, and that cost him the win.
Sort of.
Yeah.
It was more just a regular forearm, but yeah, sure. And then they were like, "What?" I really didn't like the commentary in this one either. Mm. Just being like, "Wait, it seemed to be hitting with some sort of Judas effect." I don't know who that could be in the crowd. It's like, come on, guys.
It was WWE levels of sort of patronizing the audience.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And yeah, also we've seen Starks beat Jericho clean already.
Move on. I don't like that all of Jericho's feuds, with the exception of maybe Action Andretti, last for like 7 years.
I know.
Every time. And they always start off really well when you go, ah, another Jericho feud. Amazing. And then you go, ah, we're still here, are we? oh, no, we're still going. You don't know. Oh, still going. Okay. All right.
Maybe that's why the ROH title run was so good, because it was a different person every week.
Mm.
And he just got to put on banger after banger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Daddy Ass had a bit backstage where he said, I'm just going to stand back for the main event.
Mm-hmm.
But it was sowing the seeds of, oh, we might turn on them.
Yes.
Roosh then came out to take on Brian Danielson. Rene Paquette was interviewing Danielson in the trainer's room with Takeshita. And you hear this door lock thing and then some ha 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 giggles in evil Spanish from behind the door. And Danielson had been locked in. MJF comes out. He's like, Aubrey, start the count. Because if Danielson won this match, he would get to face Max at the pay-per-view 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Nice idea.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I don't think it worked.
It was close to working. I think when they first slammed the door and Danielson was like, uh-oh.
Really real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then MJF coming out and being like, start that count. And I was like, okay, interesting idea. Camera cuts to backstage and Danielson immediately breaks the door down. I was like, oh, there's no tension anymore. He's already out. Because it all happened really, really quickly with Danielson breaking down the door, and there was supposed to be Preston Vance was supposed to be there, and Takeshita just kind of took him out immediately and Danielson sprinted off as if he like was never even attempted to be stopped by Preston Vance.
Yeah, yeah.
It all just kind of happened and barrel rolled through all the beats of the story very quickly. So none of it really had any time to breathe and it didn't quite work. It's a nice idea. Didn't quite work in execution.
Because he got in the ring at the six count.
Mm.
So he
and
had...
Aubrey was counting slow.
Yeah, yeah.
As well.
So he had three more numbers where all those spots you just mentioned should have really been racketing up the tension. But we didn't get those last three counts.
Mm.
And those were the most important ones for the tension. Thankfully, though, they had an absolutely incredible match.
Oh,
I've always loved Roosh. I think he just... I realized when I was watching him here, I was like, oh, you don't sell. You don't actually sell. When it was a bit when he was in the corner and Danielson was chopping him and he wasn't moving. He was only moving to the extent where the force of Danielson's arm were moving, no facial expressions. And he was like, okay, my turn. Yeah. And he sells his own offense. It's probably, you know, you hear the stories of how him and his brothers would act in Mexico and how this is part of the course for them because they want to look really tough all the time. But I think it's enormously effective.
It works when it's like this, though. When it's like the New Japan no-sell, I think it really works. When you have a match like this that ends up with Danielson getting the win anyway, this helps put Roosh over defeat. It works. If Roosh is just winning all the time and still doing this, it's like, less good. But this works.
Because Danielson did do that thing where he just is otherworldly at putting over his opponent. I think Roosh comes out of this looking the best he has. Took two knees to put him away. Danielson really didn't get much of the match. I'd say 70% to Roosh. Danielson did a blade job. Loads of blood.
Didn't he just?
Yeah.
Oh my God, there was so much blood in this one. The last time I see blood. So much blood caked all over him in this one. MJF was on commentary as well. I thought he added a really good element to this as well, of him just constantly. I really liked when they cut to him, his facial expressions and buying into the match, his level of investment, really added an extra element to this as well. And they're both really good wrestlers. And Danielson is just the best wrestler in the world.
Mm.
He just is. Like, you look at Danielson's run this year alone, 2023, the caliber of matches that Danielson has had is otherworldly. He's on the best run he's had in AEW right now. It's crazy. This man is so good. And two knees to put away Roosh. Awesome match. So much fun.
There was that strong style headbutt exchange as well, which was great.
So good.
But yeah, that win means Danielson will take on MJF at Revolution in a 60-minute Iron Man match. MJF came down afterwards.
It's gonna be 7 hours long.
Oh, my God. MJF came down afterwards, knocked out Danielson with a diamond ring, and it was pretty brutal. Knocked out some security guards, too. Commentary did a good job of saying, well, they're going to fine him a week's wages for that, but won't really matter to him. He's so rich anyway. Good. Very, very good. In fact, you know, all the Danielson MJF stuff on this show, as it has been for weeks, is
great.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Impractical Jokers backstage. They're doing something with Jericho tomorrow, today.
They stole his bat.
And we got Top Flight and AR Fox versus the Elite in the Trios Championship match.
Crikey.
Yes.
This was a bunch of fun, wasn't it? Ah, these teams are great. They put a real spotlight on AR Fox in this match.
Yeah,
and I appreciated
really
it. Yeah. He did some really good dives. I love the way that everyone's dives are different. Like you have the Darby Allin, which is just pure speed, like through the bottom rope, just I'll kill you. AR Fox just floats. As he goes over the top, it's just like doesn't move.
Flying
you know,
Fox.
A lot of people do like poses in the air and things like that. He's just like just him just moving through the air. It's awesome. I love it. A really nice win for the Elite, putting over Top Flight and AR Fox really strongly in this as well. Like, I think you mentioned in your edited review, like, Omega couldn't hit the One Winged Angel. Had to be a counter and just like a roll up win, like a crucifix pin to win. Really, really good. And a really perfectly paced and well timed match. It built and built and built and built and built right to the finish. Like, it was hitting real big climax at the finish, which is the perfect time you want it to. Thumbs up around. This was so much fun.
Yeah, I loved it. And just to zoom out a bit and give a sort of meta analysis, I do think what's happened with AEW, and, you know, bear with me because I was right on the New Japan stuff eventually, is that they have, it's like the brand split, right? You know, WWE went from having one of the greatest rosters in 2016 to, oh, actually, when you put them in two different shows, it's a bit spread out thin. And what AEW have done is they've split the tag division into two, and you also need extra people for the trio side of things. And I think it's going to be a lot of work to establish the trios division and also to rebuild the tag division. So we're going to hopefully get matches like this every week. And I think soon in the next couple of weeks, particularly going into the pay-per-view, we do need a storyline because the Best of Seven series was great.
It was awesome.
And it did have storyline bits running through it, but I wouldn't really call that a storyline. I'd call that a series of matches. I think they need an actual storyline now, an actual feud to really give the trios division a proper next level, because the trios division has been a bit cursed, particularly from its start at All Out. So yes, but this what they're doing right now is fantastic. Like, you can't ask for better matches on TV. And it cuts backstage to Stokely Hathaway. He's cutting a promo on Hook. Hook's right behind him, and he gets him in a armbar.
Cool.
Yeah. And then we got the main event. Overall, I gave this a pretty low score for AEW. I gave it 74% because I really like the main event stuff. I really like the trios match, but I'm not into the Starks-JAS feud. I think the women's division is naff. And I thought the Guns title win is a mistake.
Yeah, it was. And I really think that the in-ring quality was really good on this show. I've seen some people say, I think, was it Meltzer that said, like, this is one of the best in-ring dynamites they've ever done. I wouldn't go that far, personally. I think they've had better in-ring dynamites. It was great. Really good quality of wrestling. But there were still missteps. There was stuff like the Garcia-Guevara gauntlet, which I wasn't a huge fan of. And some great matches peppered in there. But really, how you leave them is a really big deal. That going on as the main event and having a decision that I think is a bad one to end the show with that crowd feeling deflated at the end of it. It's not how you want to leave them. It really drags down the show as a whole.
Well, let us know your thoughts down below and send them into wrestletalk.com/support. Last call for those Omega chats. While we honor our wonderful pledge hammers, $25 a month or more. Is the music playing?
I have no idea if it's working or not.
The cleaner, Kenny Shaw.
I don't have the names.
The British Bulldog, Philip Boy J. Smith Jr. I don't know what happened.
Crikey. WrestleTalk's personal ring announcer, Rodrigo Benitez.
Ronald Coleman, baby.
He can last Sean for longer than you in the ring.
Starbucks, Stephen Costa.
Shield Maiden, the Zornice.
Will, the MS Warrior, Stuart.
The Baker, Adam Cakebread.
The Machine Gun, Alex Anderson.
The Shruckmaster, Austin Shruck.
And Shawn Michaels' biggest fan, Brett Guy.
Nice. Thank you so much. Pledge Hammers, you can get your own shout out at patreon.com/WrestleTalk. Later today, we're recording WrestleTalk After Dark for February 2023. It's going to be me, Tempest, Adam Blompier, and Rosie.
Oh.
If you're a $10 or above Pledge Hammer, you'll get that episode next week. Get in your questions now, because then we'll be doing those questions on After Dark later today.
And also on Patreon, you get the full unedited cut of Survival Series, which went up last Friday. So that's a lot of fun.
And a bunch of other stuff too. Yeah.
Right. So remaining Omega chat. And again, sorry, your Streamlabs hasn't recorded your name. But thank you very much. The money matches FTR are acclaimed for the belts, but as a shock return and win, FTR beating Gun Club would be better. This feels like a month-long reign to set up FTR as the hero team returning to get revenge over the Guns and win the belts.
That's what it feels like to me as well. I still don't like it.
Mark Mayhew, the Guns are your new AEW champions. No more slandering their good name on this channel anymore. The kings of tag team wrestling have finally earned their crowns. Long may they reign. Time to defend against great teams like Jarrett Lethal or Mox and his dad.
Great.
I'm seeing a lot of buzz around the Enhancement Act from last week. It's like, I can't remember their names. It's like Steve Turbo and something else.
Sure.
But they've got a bit of an 80s club look.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're cool. That's fun.
The Zornice. Does anyone remember how everybody was mad when Jade started her run? So much for no one ever got over when they got their title early. They were, because it was the tournament. And
I liked it.
I liked it as well.
Yeah.
And I kind of assumed that from the very start as well. I love the Acclaimed. Everybody loves the Acclaimed. But this was fresh, and I'm curious about what happens next. Love you. Love you too. I'm just Marcus. AEW fans, the tag division is starting to falter a little. There are no challenges or interesting storylines. Can we fix that? Tony. Got it. The Ass Boys beat the Acclaimed. AEW fans. No, Tony, not like that. Poor Tempest. He was kidding, but called it.
Yeah, he sure did. Ass Boys 2023.
A hot tag to you.
There's another one from the same, from I'm Just Marcus as well, if you wanted to do that one.
That hasn't come through. Give me a sec. Also from I'm Just Marcus. Much like Tempest, this has broken me too. Ass Boys 2023 coming for all that gold. Austin will beat Joe for both his belts and Colton will beat MJF and they'll go on to feud with the most overact for all the belts. The Firm.
Amazing. Can't wait. Also, I will say, I didn't like the title win and we've already spoken about our full thoughts on it. I do also kind of love it because it made Tempest so mad. Like, there's a part of me that just really enjoyed the chaos aspect of this.
He's your brother.
Matt Hennessy said, honestly, within the last year... Oh, did we do these ones? No, we didn't.
No.
Matt Hennessy said, honestly, within the last year, TK's lost a lot of credibility with me as a booker. While Triple H and WWE have regained a lot of that goodwill, and I'm willing to let things play out over there. Outside of the MJF Bryan match and development and the Elite match.
Might as well do all of their chats.
The women's feud is very lazy and uninspired. IMO, JS have the wrong kind of heat, and I think Starks is less over now than he was 2 months ago. Why does Ricky want to fight Y2J when he already has beaten him clean? Honestly, if you put a gun to my head and ask which company has the better, hotter product between WWE and AEW, I'm going to say WWE right now. I want both companies to do well, but to be honest, I kind of feel Tony needs to get his act together as a booker. I love both WWE and AEW. Any criticism I give to either comes from a loving place and wanting to see both succeed. 2022 was a rough year for AEW, and I want them to get back to the heights they had in 2020 and 2021 when the company was on fire and felt like must-watch TV.
WWE are undeniably hotter right now.
They have the bloodline.
Yeah. But And Cody. Which I guess is, it also links. Which it all goes back to the bloodline.
And also Imperium, who are great.
AEW for me, like the in-ring wrestling, is far more enjoyable to watch. So I probably, if I was not doing this, I would watch AEW over WWE. But if I had to make a choice, that is. Mm. Tony Khan... 2022 didn't expose him, I don't think, because I think he genuinely was a very good booker for those first 2-3 years. Mm. But I feel like certain tendencies of his, which is waiting too long and also muddling things in certain regards, really came to the fore last year and is still to an extent there a bit. Plus, a lot of bookers only really have 3 years of shelf life. So maybe he's just run out of steam a bit.
Yeah.
But he's still putting on good, there's still good bits to enjoy.
And the thing is, when you have the caliber of talent that AEW has on the roster, you can just say, I'm going to book this match, go have a good match. And they go, all right. There you go. Easy bookings, that.
I think he's a great matchmaker.
Yes, he is.
Like, I'm going to put this guy against this guy. Mm-hmm. But I think he could probably do with some fresh heads on the storyline side.
I agree, yeah. William Rosmer said, Rampage was taped right after this Dynamite. I wonder how crowd enthusiasm is going to be on that show considering the end of Dynamite. I've seen that happen at an AEW show before.
It's a really interesting point, William. Mm.
Yeah. Your local metalhead says, I enjoyed the show until the main event. The acclaimed were why I kept watching AEW after Brawl Out, and now the effing ass boys are champions. Why, Tony, why? Couch Potato Lucha Libre said, was in the crowd last night for Dynamite, and holy cow, print boots, that was an amazing and exhausting experience. Hopefully it brings AEW back to El Paso soon. Mark said, idea, Danielson, after losing to MJF, teams with Takeshita in a program against Claudio and Yuta for the Blackpool Combat Club story.
Oh, yeah. They're a thing.
Who are they? Two teams of mentors and their pupils. Afterwards, down the line, Danielson heel turns and Takeshita must take out his idol for his big-time win.
That's a great idea. I'd love it even more if the Blackpool Combat Club were actually a thing.
They're on Rampage. So, Harrison Earl said, up until the final twist, I was so worried during that MJF promo. Just kept saying to myself, bold move to go full Katie Vick here, but I'm not sure Max needs that much heat. So I was actually relieved when he said he switched seats with her.
Oh my God.
Apparently that was trending. Katie Vick was trending.
Was it?
Part of that,
what?
Like, promo. Yeah.
I never got a Katie Vick vibe from it. The police were on their way. He's not going to turn over and you know what? In this situation, I could...
I know what kind of man I am. Ooh, crikey. Charles Berg said, you'd still be watching them in the water, so you pull them out if they sink. Nobody drowns in my metaphor. Mm. Also, Ollie mentioned something I noticed too, about how Max will just lie about anything. His football bodies were the villains when it benefits Max.
Yes, because he chose to stay with those people.
Yeah.
But again, I don't think that's a lie. I just think, Max maybe started off school as a wide-eyed, optimistic, hopeful lad.
Yeah.
And then the people who were supposed to be his friends bullied him for his religion.
Mm-hmm.
And then he probably still wanted to impress them and ingratiate himself with them. And that created a very bitter persona we get now. But in that first one, did he talk about knocking them out with anything? No, they threw coins at him.
Yeah.
And that's how that story ended. Mm. I think it's consistent.
I need to go back and listen to the other promo again. Should I hot tag back to you?
Sure. These are from the Raw stream. Chris James Lilly. I like to say Alexa's contract ends at this time next year, and she's often expressed interest in Hollywood and starting a family with her husband. That's why I feel she could step away this year, and the unnecessary IWC hate don't help either. Hopefully jam that jam. Weege 2 says, Weege here. It's Dusty's greatest creation versus his son. That's chef's kiss right there. Can't wait for Roman's promos talking about everything Dusty taught him. Last thing, love the channel. Also looking for a VPN. Any you guys know of? Surfshark.
I never heard of it personally. Use code PUSHTUCKER.
BM Whitehouse 76. In a video from 2018, Brian Zane did research on ratings when JBL was champion and proved that ratings actually increased when he beat Eddie and dropped off after he lost to Cena. So, in a way, he does have proof that he was must-watch television.
Hate that.
Honestly, when me and Luke go back and rewatch old pay-per-views, the thing we are always surprised about is how much fun we have watching Bradshaw.
Do you remember when we did the one episode of WrestleTalk Extra with me and you, and it was One Night Stand 2006, and then you were we lost the recording of this bit of you ranting and raving about how great JBL's promo was and being like, oh my God, it was so much fun. And I was like, yeah, but what was the point? Like, there's no payoff to this. And you were like, oh yeah, good point.
He's just such a good promo. Marcel Arts, David Richards, Masha Slamovich, Ariz, Commander, Miguel Trey, Metahan, Famiora, Abe, Francesco, Akira, Maggot, Matthew, Dan, Bradshaw, myself. Just a few of the names that will be on WXW 16 Carat. When will you finally give in and join the party? Much love.
I can't bother to travel.
1 year.
1 year. I'll do it sometime.
Mayor of Painesville, Dan. Hello, team. This is Mayor of Painesville, Dan. I hope you're doing well. It is February. We are on the road to WXW 16 Carat. So here is the question. When are you guys coming? Hashtag five time is the charm.
I don't know. At some point, I'll do it.
We're quite busy.
Yeah, that's the thing. I have to take time off to go watch this, and I can't do that, really. Oh, sorry.
Yorkmaster53, sorry for being out of topic. I was poor on Tuesday. Now I'm rich. You get $5. If Rhea wins, does she split from Judgment Day? I don't think so.
No. I wouldn't want her to.
No.
Not unless there's a good story for it.
I love the Ass Boys winning. You can't buy that hype of reaction.
What reaction?
Yeah. It serves the story. I do worry for the follow-through, though.
Yeah.
Unidentified Streamlad's name, apologies. I agree with you, Pete. I don't think submission should be looked at as coward-like. The first time I noticed this being a trend was when Triple H literally got his arm broken in the crowd chanting, "You tapped out." By the way, my username is Yaboy Baby, in case you know. Thank you, Yaboy Baby.
Good call, because your username was unidentified. Thanks. Yeah. You tapped out. Yes, he got his arm broken. It's fine. He's allowed to do that.
Fun thing to chant to a heel, though.
To a heel? Yes. Not to a baby face. Very stupid.
But it could easily turn on a baby face
if
the crowd aren't fully into the baby face.
Like Liv Morgan.
Another unidentified Streamlabs name. So sorry. Hi, lads. Not related to AEW, but I wanted to ask, if you don't mind sharing, what camera do you use to stream? And do you stream off Streamlabs for this live stream? My friend and I are setting up a podcast, and we're looking for a few tips. Love you?
Question mark?
And just adding on from my Streamlabs camera question, do you think I could pick either of your brains a little by email? I know you're all super, super busy, but I have so much respect for all and the quality of your podcast. Thanks so much anyway, heart emoji. Yeah, definitely. Email support@wrestletalk.com and we'll do our best to answer. This is a Blackmagic Studio 4K?
Yes. Yeah.
And we use Streamlabs?
Streamlabs OBS, the actual streaming.
And last, check the poll.
Oh, there's when Tempest came in, he moved the screen, so now I can't see the screen, so I'm going to have to get up.
Just read out this last one from a Memberg, 16 months for Rooster Libre. Did anyone else notice how Max's hair during the car crash promo kind of looked like he had devil horns? He probably intended that. He just, yeah, very good.
So we have a poll going in the chat. Thoughts on Dynamite? Thumbs up? 54%. Mid, 35%. Thumbs down, 11%.
Oh.
So it's still kind of up there.
Still high. Overall enjoyable.
Overall
definitely.
Good. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for everyone joining us here today. If you haven't already, press subscribe and go over and watch Tempest reacting 2, the Ass Boys win.
I felt so bad.
Yeah. But for now, I've been Ollie Davis. This has been Chopper Beat Quinnell. Check out Geology using the link below. It really helps support the podcast as well. And your smooth face.
Code Wrestle70.
Jam that jam.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.